My so-called life. Chapter 1, in which I do things that turn out to be incredibly stupid. Maybe my life isn't so bad. Really, it's not. That's what I'm telling myself right now anyway, so that I don't, like, completely freak out or something. I have an amazing life. I've got loads of money and I'm super hot and I have an incredible voice and everyone invites me to their parties and wants to be my friend and every guy wants to fuck me. It's brilliant. My life is brilliant. Can't say as I'm happy or anything. I have two dads, one who raised me and a sperm donor dad, but I don't know if I love either of them or even like them. My twin brother's a conceited arse, but he's actually improved a lot, so I won't fuss on that account. My mum is super sweet, but her mood goes up or down depending on whether she and sperm donor dad are fucking or not. And I think that's just horribly pathetic, but that's how she is. My two favourite people are my aunt, who lives in Sussex, and my younger brother, who's at school in Scotland, so there you are. I live in a house full of mental fuckers, and before you start thinking, oh right, everyone else is crazy but not you, just wait until you hear the fucking story. My other aunt, who's beyond deranged, just came into my bedroom swinging something in a nasty hand that I thought was a lantern, but no, it was the decapitated head of the nurse who's meant to be her minder, Angel. And then she cackled and ran out of the room. And now I'm standing here thinking, Loretta just killed someone. She actually did it this time. Loretta's been trying to kill people for years, and she isn't very good at it. Well, she hasn't been. Now she's running loose in the house, totally off her head, and she's going to kill someone else. I've got to do something. I've got to stop her. And I'm also thinking, I've just got to lock my bedroom door and pretend none of this ever happened. But I can't do that. First of all, this is a matter of the quadruplets. They're only 4 years old, and Loretta could snatch one up and smother them or stab them or something before they even woke up. I'm not a kid person, but those kids have lived with me since they were born, and I don't want anything to happen to them. Well, then there's something my aunt's husband said to me once. Not the mental aunt, the aunt in Sussex. Her name is Elizabeth. Sorry, I can't think straight right now. I wonder why. Anyway, Elizabeth's husband, Remus, is someone I kind of look up to, and we had words over Christmas about the way I treated this boy I like. I'd been super upset, but I felt better when he said, "You've never lacked courage." Well, I couldn't lock the door and hide under the covers when I remembered him saying that. I started pillaging through a chest of drawers, tossing camis and knickers everywhere and searching for this ring I have to summon Remus. Oh, he's a wizard, which you can believe or not, and an Auror, and a werewolf, all of which means he could track a flat ass down in 2 minutes. And if you're thinking, why not just ring the police? Well, let's just say the authorities haven't helped us much, meaning at all, with Loretta in the past. They'd probably declare there wasn't a shred of evidence she did it and arrest my grandfather or something. Oh, bloody hell, I can't find the damn ring. There was a bit of trouble a few months ago when I summoned him when I'd got locked in a pantry. And I was so embarrassed after that I hid it somewhere. Bloody fucking shite. My room's a great stonking tip with a metric fuck-ton of crap strewn everywhere. Then I don't have enough time to go through it. And who knows if I'll ever find it? Loretta could be choking Lisbeth or Lucas right now. So I pick up my mobile to ring Shala, who's the quadruplet's mum, and the bloody line is dead. I'm not even shitting you. The line is dead. This is like a damn horror film or something. It's a mobile phone. How the fuck can the fucking line be down? My life is insane. Oh, right. The battery's dead. My bad. Oh, I put on my jeans and a long-sleeved shirt and jumper and stomped down the corridor towards the lift, thinking things couldn't possibly get any worse. Then the lift opens, and there stands Kenny. He's wearing those stonewashed jeans from the 80s and a tight tee, and he smells like he just rolled out of the gutter. He's also smiling at me like he's super happy about something. "Hey, dude," he yells when I jump in and hit the button for Shala's floor. "This is totally rad, man. Like, Loretta's running around the house, dude. And she's carrying Angel's head, man. Yeah, like her real fucking head." And then he laughs out loud because he's stoned as shit and thinks it's all funny and is proud of himself for having big news to tell. "I know that," I snap back, and he looks pissy for a moment but then says, "Well, what are you going to do, man? You better go find her, dude. You better get your damn dad."
Notice he doesn't say, we'd better go find her, because Kenny will never be stoned enough to be brave. Which dad? I say in a hateful voice. Anyway, my mobile's dead. Have you got yours? It's not working, dude, he moans, which doesn't surprise me, because Henry says Kenny hasn't figured out the concept of charging a phone yet. Henry's the dad that raised me, and I don't like him because he cheated on Mum. Although, to be fair, he was a decent enough dad to me. Well, Kenny's his younger brother, and I do feel sorry for him about that. You know, Quentin's got his own lift, I tell Kenny, even though he's lived here for like 15 years, not to know it. And they lock it at night. We're going to Shala's floor to warn her, and we can use her mobile. Kenny does not look happy with this plan. I'm scared, dude! What if she's there, man? What if she kills us, dude? Wait, no, the lift's going down, not up. Why does it keep going down? I'm frantically pushing buttons, but it keeps on going down, all the way to the first floor. Oh, fuck, this is so not good. What if the door opens and Loretta's standing there with a Bowie knife or a hand grenade or an automatic assault rifle or a flamethrower, anthrax darts, or a world-ending biological slime ball, and she throws it at me. Well, Kenny must be thinking the same thing, because he scoots behind me so I'll get stabbed or blown up or riddled with bullets or burst into flame before he does. Lovely. The door opens. Ah! Kenny screams, and I scream, and Lucretia screams, because that's who's standing outside the lift. The cook. Lucretia reaches in and grabs us each by the arm and drags us right out onto the marble floor. She's stronger than she looks. Quick, we have got to hide, she says furiously.
I don't know exactly how to tell you this, Miss Rosie, but I done seen you crazy and, well, things ain't looking too good.
Yeah, we know about the head, dude, Kenny mumbles as Lucretia yanks us into the kitchen.
Oh, it worse than that,
Lucretia hollers. Lucretia's always hollering, but she's funny, really. I mean, not now, but most of the time.
I seen a kid in the head, and she stopped showing to me, and I was so scared I all froze up and couldn't even move myself.
Did she take these voodoo dolls out of her pocket?
I think she got voodoo dolls of everybody here.
Kenny and I are staring at her in horror, and I can tell she's enjoying the moment.
One of them is a voodoo doll of Miss Angel with her hair cut off, but it taped back on with that cello tape. And another one of Kenny. And another one of you, Miss Rosie.
I don't believe in voodoo dolls. I don't. Voodoo dolls aren't real. Right, just like magic and wizards and werewolves aren't real either. Shite.
I think we better find her and get them voodoo dolls.
Really? Do you think? I don't mean to sound nasty, but it comes out that way.
Well, don't be getting all hateful with me, Miss Rosie. I didn't make them voodoo dolls, and I is trying to help.
All right, I'm sorry, I yell back. We then exchange a glance, the gist of which is, why are we yelling when a homicidal maniac is lurking about who knows where, and quickly lower our voices. Where did she go? I hiss at Creesha. Do you know?
She gone down in that cellar with Miss Rosie.
Lucretia says, and all three of us shudder together. No one likes the cellar.
Oh, you knows the rest of Miss Angel gonna be down in that cellar. I knows it. I bet she got some voodoo command center down in that cellar. Oh, I knows it. We all going to die.
She finishes ominously and then adds, we better get going, in a completely normal voice, which kind of spoils the effect. Not me, dude. I'm not going down in any voodoo command center, man. Kenny shrieks, and Lucretia reaches over me and pinches one of his nipples. I guess she means business. Kenny starts crying.
You going down there with us?
She yells at him, and I can tell she's super angry.
You is going, Kenny. Or I'm going to make some sure you never gets another drug in your whole damn life.
Kenny snatches up a nearby torch and plunges down into the cellar. Chapter 2. I do more stupid things and live to regret them. Down in the cellar, Lucretia and I creep about 10 feet behind Kenny, although it's hard to tell what Lucretia does creeping, since she's so ginormously fat. It's more like she's thudding along behind him. So much for catching out Loretta on his wares, right? You can hear Lucretia's footsteps reverberating around those cellar. Loretta isn't in the cellar, so Kenny heads for the sub-basement. Yes! The fucking sub-basement. The worse than the cellar place where I locked up my brother Jamie when we were 7 and he didn't talk for a week.
I can hear things moving around and little clicking noises and shadows. I know there are spiders down here.
Spiders and rats and probably snakes. Oh my God, this place is so bloody awful I wouldn't be surprised if there were a giant puddle just ahead with a great white shark floating around in it gnashing its teeth.
We're walking through piles of boxes and climbing over old broken things, and I keep expecting Loretta to jump out at us, but she doesn't. I stay close behind the creature, close enough she'll block me from any projectile missiles, but not so close that she'll fall on me if she faints. And Kenny's scurrying around with the torch, whispering, "Hey, Loretta, where are you, dude?" like a man on a mission. And then we see it. Oh, God, we see it. It isn't Loretta. It's something much, much worse. It's Angel, lurching towards us with her dead face staring straight ahead and her hands reaching out. Her head looks like it's propped up on her shoulders or something. And then I think about the voodoo doll and the sellotaped head, and we all start screaming. All right, so I should have stayed calm, but I couldn't think rationally, although I tried for a minute. Less than a minute. And then my thoughts went like this. Ah! Her head's back on! Her head's back on! Ah! Zombie Angel! Zombie Angel! Ah! Her head's back on! Her head's back on! Ah! Zombie Angel! Zombie Angel! Ah! The creature starts talking to Angel in this fast, hysterical sort of way. We be looking for Miss Loretta, Miss Angel! She hollers out. Yes, we's gonna find her. We sure enough isn't. And then they'd be real sorry for what she done to you, Miss Angel. Yes, she'd be real sorry. How is her head back on? I choke out to Kenny. We're actually sort of huddling together. That's how fucking scared I am. I don't know, dude. Did she come back to life? I don't know, man. Is she an inferi? I don't know, dude. Angel doesn't seem to care what any of us are saying. She looks like a crazed nutter, waving her arms and speeding towards us, and she's making zombie sounds. She comes like... And then she leaps for Kenny. Don't ask me why, but I grab the back of her blouse and try to pull her off him. And the blouse tears. This is officially the worst day ever. Kenny lets out a scream that did not shatter every piece of glass within a 6-block radius, but it sounded like it should have done. Lucretia and I each pull on one of Angel's arms, and the arm Lucretia was pulling on makes a grotesque snap sound at the shoulder, and Angel falls down to the floor with her mouth opening and closing like she's trying to bite. This can't be real, can it? I mean, don't you have to make someone an inferi? Is that what she is now? Who made her one? Loretta is a nutter, but she definitely isn't a witch. How did she get to be such a threat? And why the fuck didn't I keep that ring? And then I look at Lucretia and blurt out something totally stupid and lame. Why do you even work here, Lucretia? I screech. How can you stand it? Well, Lucretia says seriously, I guess because there could be worse jobs than this. I could be digging them graves for people. Or cleaning fishes, or swinging an axe at a coal mine, or getting shot at in the army, or unclogging toilets, or wiping people's butts, or getting punched in the face by some mean-ass millionaire to pay people to punch them in the face. What? Well, that's all I can think of that'd be worse than this job. Okay, I reply. Don't let her bite me, man! Kenny howls and topples backwards as Angel crawls towards him. And then the scariest, most fucking frightening thing that has ever happened to me occurs. Angel gets up on her hands and knees and then stands. And then all of a sudden she's right up in my face. Like in that film where the girl crawls out of the telly and her head is all purple and splotchy and her face definitely looks dead. And it's tipping at the neck, which is, you guessed it, sawed off and covered with sellotape. Why in the hell was I talking to Lucretia about her job satisfaction? When I should have been running for my life. I think it's becoming obvious that I make very poor life decisions. Chapter 3, in which something happens you will never believe, and it totally makes me sick. I manage to run a few feet to my right, and Angel just keeps staggering along past me like she has to walk in a straight line or something. Well, I let out a sigh of relief just as Loretta emerges from the darkness, and her hair is slicked back, and she's grinning from ear to ear, and her eyes are wide and white and gleaming in the darkness.
She stops walking and reaches inside those big hand-sewn pockets in her gingham frock, pulling out dolls with both hands. And one of them I spot right away has long brown hair and is pretty and thin, and I know it's me. And then I see another one that looks like Kenny.
Did you want to see me, Kenny?
She stutters passionately, like she thinks they're going to start going out together or something. Kenny looks at Loretta and then at Lucretia, like he's measuring up the danger on either side. And then he remembers Lucretia's threat about taking his drugs.
Yeah, yeah, man,
he tells Loretta in this strangled voice that I think is meant to be threatening.
We're gonna take you down and tie you up and call the cops, man.
Loretta lets out a scream of rage, grabs the left leg of the Kenny doll and rips it right off. She rips it right off. Kenny lets out a shriek of pain that blasts my eardrum into pieces. Then his leg shoots off from his body in a spray of blood and bone like it's been fired from a cannon, and it slides across the tile floor, stopping only when it hits the wall. There's a thick red trail of blood along the path where the leg went.
His legs come off! His fucking legs come off! Oh my God, oh my God, I'm in a fucking puke!
Loretta starts rubbing her hands together like an evil character in a play, cackling and chattering with malicious glee.
I can do anything now. No one can stop me.
What the actual fuck? Who says this stuff? I can't even have normal terrifying shit happen to me. No, it has to be all campy and stupid and lame. My life is like the worst written horror film ever.
You don't believe me? Let me tell you about when Carmine fell on the chainsaw and his fucking head rolled on the table. Or when my stepfather got murdered in a bowl of peas.
Lucretia thunders up to Loretta and shakes her by the shoulders.
Giving him dolls! You giving up dolls, Satan?
All of a sudden, I'm on the floor and the room isn't spinning, it's heaving.
Quit shaking her, Lucretia!
I yell, and Lucretia looks at the doll in Loretta's hand, which is flopping about like mad, and stops the shaking. Loretta makes a face at Lucretia and then carefully places the one-legged Kenny and the for the moment intact Rosie dolls on a shelf, like she's making a point about what a good, cautious person she is. I don't even want to look at Kenny, who's up against the wall moaning. Shouldn't he be bleeding to death? Shouldn't he be dead by now? Oh, no, 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 no. This is not happening. Lucretia's leaning over Kenny and pulling off a blouse. What is she doing? Oh, she's unhooking the biggest bra that's ever been made on the planet. And pretty soon we're going to see her. I'm blind. I'm blind.
I got to use this brassiere for a tourniquet,
she says triumphantly. This brassiere got 16 metal clamps in the back and it hold on to anything. Did I ever mention my life sucks? And that I live with a bunch of bloody nutters? Oh, I think I did. Chapter 3, in which things get worse and worse. Really, they do. Lucretia's bra tourniquet actually seems to work because Kenny's leg stops bleeding. I mean, well, I guess it does. I don't really look. There isn't a huge pool of blood stretching out across the floor, and he's alive, so it must have done. I look over at Loretta and wonder how I'm meant to stop her. Tackle her to the ground? She has a voodoo doll of me in her hand. One big squeeze and my guts will spill out everywhere. Or she'll rip my head off like angels or punch both my boobs flat.
Miss Rosie,
Lucretia suddenly says, all excited.
When we was in Germany, your mama, she called up that John Lupin to change the weather. He was giving a talk on time travel.
She finishes in a satisfied voice.
What? What the fuck? Who cares?
She's summoned him,
Lucretia says impatiently, since obviously I'm not cottoning on.
She summoned him without no ring. That means you can summon someone without a ring.
I think on this for a moment. Well, it must be more difficult, maybe, I ponder. Or else Remus wouldn't have bothered to give me the ring. He'd just have said, give me a shout, or whatever. Why would he give me the ring?
Because he's stupid, dude,
Kenny yells out.
He can't come without a ring, man.
Ha ha ha, get it, dude? He can't come without a ring.
Oh my God, Kenny's so fucking stoned he doesn't even care if one of his legs is off.
Yes, he can, I say furiously. Probably just makes your voice clearer or something.
Don't you dare summon him, Rosie!
Loretta screams.
Don't you dare summon him, Rosie!
Loretta screams. I'll rip your doll in half! Shite!
He can't help all she can do it, Lucretia says, egging me on. Go on and call him, Miss Rosie. He stop her from doing it.
Well, I'm certain he could stop her from doing it, but I don't see how he could apparate here and stop her before she tears that doll apart. The minute the words come out of my mouth, I'm going to be in two pieces. And I do not want to be in two pieces. Who the fuck would? Although I shouldn't be surprised if it happens, because that's how my life is.
Wait! Listen! Listen, there is a ghost down here!
Lucretia hisses and we all get quiet. Right, why wouldn't there be a ghost? There's a damn voodoo queen and a corpse with its head cello taped in place and a fellow with a blown-off leg, and why shouldn't there be a fucking ghost? I hear a loud crash and the sound of glass breaking behind a wall of old boxes, and even though we probably shouldn't even care about a ghost at this point, we all start screaming again. Well, not Loretta, of course. She's too mental to care.
Ghosty! Ghosty! She calls out. I want to see you, Ghosty!
Then Victor stumbles out from behind a pile of boxes, clutching the neck of a broken vodka bottle, and Lucretia and I glare at him. I don't know what Kenny does, because I'm making a point of not looking at Kenny.
Finally finds me special vodka and a bleeding bottle breaks,
he moans and leans up against the wall.
I haven't had a bloody drink in 2 days or something. Bug it up, cunt rag, Henry.
This means Henry hasn't gone out to replenish Victor's alcohol supplies.
He's sick, man, Kenny says in an irritable voice. He's got the flu, dude. He's been puking.
Well, excellent. Brilliant. Another person who might have rescued us from Loretta is unavailable.
Also, could still get the off license, Victor grouses.
Shut up! I yell and resist the urge to punch him. Loretta's made voodoo dolls of us all, and she yanked Kenny's leg off his doll, and Kenny's real leg actually came off.
That is exactly what happened, Lucretia echoes.
Victor gets up and stumbles over to peer at Kenny in the gloomy light.
Whoa, fuck me, he says in an impressed voice. Bugger me bunghole, his leg's gone, innit?
That's what we just say, I turn angrily on Loretta. How did you get super voodoo powers anyway? I demand, because I'm curious. I'm a curious person. Really, wouldn't you want to know?
From a necromancer in Shoreditch,
Loretta shrugs. Occasionally, she responds without stuttering, or making awful faces, or cackling, or shrieking, or doing anything weird at all. And when she does this normal bit, it's like the creepiest thing of all.
How you get the money for that? Lucretia grouses. Don't tell me no voodoo necromancer going to give you anything for free.
I paid her £1 million,
Loretta says and yawns, like we're all just boring her to death.
Angel left a computer open one night, and I hacked into Quinton's current account.
Bloody shite, you got it Quinton's bank account? How the fuck did you do that? I blurt out.
I'm good at maths.
She replies in a smug voice. I decide it's time to change the subject. How long do you think you can keep us down here? I demand.
Forever!
Loretta screams and leaps to her feet, spinning around and around with her arms stretched out like a ballerina. It's kind of reassuring to see her back on form.
We can't be leaving her alone,
Lucretia tells me and plants her hands on her hips. We got to stay right here till she gives us them dolls.
Not me, man. I'm out of here, dude,
Kenny announces and tries to stand up. This doesn't work, obviously, and he falls over and starts wailing like a 2-year-old.
Man, oh, my fucking leg's gone, dude. Oh, man, I don't have a fucking leg here. I can't even walk. I've only got one leg, man.
All right. I feel a teeny tiny bit of sympathy for him. I do. Well, I can't help it. What if Loretta had pulled my leg off and I was the one on the floor without one? You're disabled now, Kenny, I say sympathetically. Think of all the drugs the doctors will give you now that with that ripped off leg. Kenny beams at me and starts pulling on Victor's arm. Help me up, dude. Find me a crutch. Yeah, hurry it up, man. I'm like totally disabled, dude. And I have special needs. I'm gonna get a fuckload of Roxy's and a shit ton of scholarship money. Why in the hell was I nice to him? And what should I do now? Kenny and Victor are obviously preparing to leave, and Lucretia obviously isn't. If I leave Lucretia alone with her, will Loretta kill her with a voodoo doll? Think. All right. The fact is, she can do horrid things to any of us via the voodoo dolls, whether we're here or not. So someone needs to fucking capture her. I just need to get away so she can't hear me summon Remus. I have a plan, I whisper to Lucretia, since apparently I've given in to the fact that my life is a badly written horror film. I'm going with them, I add loudly.
Oh, Miss Rosie, I'm so ashamed of you. Yes, my ears, I can't believe it.
You'll understand later, I hiss.
What? What?
Lucretia is an intelligent woman. I know she is, just not at the moment.
I know what you're planning, Rosie.
Loretta screeches and waves her arms above her head. At least someone gets it.
As soon as I hear him coming after me, I'm tearing up your doll.
I just smile in the darkness. She'll never hear him coming after her. Kenny's got his arm round Victor's shoulder and is hopping reasonably well for such a recent amputee. And as the two pass by me, Victor mumbles,
"Come on, Rosie,"
which for some reason seems like a really nice thing to say. What? I'm in an emotionally vulnerable state.
Okay, we'll be back, Lucretia.
My voice sounds false and shrill in my ears, but maybe that's because Lucretia's got her arms folded across her chest and is glaring at me, and I feel like a 6-year-old. I start walking with Victor and Kenny toward the stairs, then we see Angel, who has apparently made a complete circle of the sub-basement, zooming towards us again. I'd like to say we do something very brave and heroic, but we just run like hell towards the stairs. Well, Victor and I run, while Kenny hops like a demented rabbit. It's actually impressive how fast he's hopping. I get to the stairs first, and then Victor, and then Kenny, and Angel leaps for Kenny's remaining leg and bites down on his foot. Oh my God, is he going to lose both his legs tonight? I mean, that's just not fair, even for Kenny.
Stop that!
I scream, and Angel opens her mouth, and Kenny's foot falls out.
That is enough! This is just enough! Let him alone! Let all of us alone! We have Loretta to deal with, and that is more than enough!
Angel makes a sorrowful little noise, and her head falls the rest of the way off her neck and rolls into a thick pile of cobwebs in the corner. How many fucking heads do I have to see before I turn 21? We plow through the sub-basement and then the cellar door like the devil himself is after us and don't stop running, hopping until we clear the kitchen and get out into the dining room, where I'm expected to stop and catch my breath. And we do stop, but I don't exactly catch my breath. There's a tall hooded figure hunched in Mum's chair, surrounded by little strobe lights and a variety of tweezers and clippers and surgical-looking instruments. And in the centre of the lights and instruments is an enormous cockroach, which the figure is carefully pulling into pieces. You'd think we'd be tired of screaming by now, but apparently I have an endless ability to scream. And why Kenny is screaming, I've no idea, since his whole room is full of cockroaches. But maybe it's got something to do with the short stump swinging beside his right leg.
Man, you cats need to take a chill pill,
Ermine announces and looks up at us.
What are you doing? I say indignantly.
Stop that! We eat at this table, you fuckwit!
It's a scientific experiment, loud chick,
Ermine tells me. I guess he's forgotten my name, possibly because his brain is more fried than Kenny's, or maybe he was just born retarded.
Don't have a fucking cow, babe. I want to see whether a cockroach can survive a nuclear holocaust.
Who cares? I yell, because I hate him.
All life is a radical blessing, lady. Life is hip, babe. Yeah, I really dig it. It's far out and fabuloso. Every living being deserves to survive in that big mushroom cloud.
It's a fucking bug, dude, Kenny says sullenly.
You know someone's a fuckwit when Kenny sets them straight.
What are you pulling it apart? What's you pulling it apart got to do with a bleeding nuclear war?
Victor hisses.
What the fuck does that prove? We're not on the same wavelength, Daddy-O, Ermine tells him. We can't relate, man. I'm on a higher plane with my intelligence. Victor hauls off and punches him. And because he's not drunk, it's actually a pretty good punch. Ermine crashes to the floor and rolls around, cupping a bleeding ear and whimpering, and I resist the urge to start clapping.
We got bigger problems than roaches happening here, you stupid clot!
Victor yells and sweeps all the lights and instruments and the half-dead roach onto the floor. I kind of like sober Victor.
Rhett's gone barking. She made these voodoo dolls and look here. Look at what she's done to Kenny's bloody leg!
Ermine stares at Kenny's swinging, draining stump, still tourniqueted by Lucretia's massive brassiere, and lets out a shriek. Victor and I exchange a satisfied glance.
Oh, man! Oh, man!
He moans and buries his face in his hands.
This is gnarly. This is radically bogus. Like, I can't stand this, people!
Did I mention Ermine thinks it's the 60s or 70s or something, even though he wasn't born in either decade? Loretta's killed Angel, I burst in. I think she made a voodoo doll of her and then ripped the head off. Ermine throws his skinny arms up in the air.
Voodoo dolls, he groans. Oh, man, that's bad. I helped her make those dolls on Angel's afternoon off. It was a gas, people. It was radically cool, you know. I helped find everybody's essence.
Here's a sentence I never thought I'd say in my lifetime. And I'm certain Victor and Kenny and I are all thinking the same thing. Like how much we want to fucking kill him.
So, you thought making a voodoo doll was a fun thing to do?
I yell, but not as loud as I want to, because I don't want to ruin my voice.
Oh yeah, babe. Don't go ape on me, foxy chick. We got, like, a relationship. You dig?
You're shagging Loretta, dude? Kenny says in an interested voice, because Kenny's always more interested in shagging than anything else, even the amputation of his own leg.
Not yet, Daddy-o. We want to take it slow and build that love connection so it'll last.
How did you get the essence? I demand.
Toenail clippings, brother. Yeah, we had one of those maids pick up all the trash in the bathrooms, and I dug through it and picked out the toenails.
Ew! Gross! Gross!
I'm gonna kill you when this is over,
Victor tells Ermine, and I think he means it.
Rosie, go and summon Remus. He won't listen to me.
Of course he will. I mean, well, how many times have you summoned him when you were totally fine?
72, and then he stopped coming. He don't ever forgive no one for nothing.
Oh my God, you are so lame. All right. Remus! Remus, we need help, and we are all actually in danger here at my house. There's a long pause, like dead air over a radio, and nothing happens.
Must be over the channel, Victor says mournfully.
Can't someone across the water, unless you've got a ring.
The fact that Victor knows the answer to a wizarding question that I didn't is about as annoying as the fact that no one is coming to rescue us from Loretta.
We could send him an owl, though,
Victor adds, which makes me even angrier because I hadn't thought of that earlier. So 15 minutes later, I'm doing the last thing I ever thought I would be doing at 4 in the morning, getting into the lift with Victor, Ermine, and a one-legged Kenny and heading for my floor. The three stooges trundle along beside me as I go into my sitting room and throw the cover off my lovely white owl, Alice. And once again, you guessed it, I start screaming.
Alice is lying stiffly in a prone position, headless. And I think I faint because the next thing I know, I'm sitting on my couch and Victor is handing me a cup of water. And Kenny and Ermine are hovering around me like dumb and dumber, and I don't even care. My lovely Alice. I burst into tears.
She's thought all this out, she has, Victor says grimly. She's brighter than you lot, I think. I'll wager she's topped off the head of every owl here.
Well, what are we meant to do now? I screech. Cast a Patronus?
Man, you can cast a Patronus, dude? That's like totally awesome, man. Kenny says admiringly. You are one cool chick. Did I ever mention that I fucking hate my life? Chapter 5, in which more people arrive that do not help at all, and we are surprised by a stranger.
Since there's no reason to remain in my bedroom any longer, we depart to return to the dining room, because it's where people gather in this fucking nut house I call home. Before we leave the room, Victor wraps up Alice in the red velvet blanket from her cage and puts her in a box and then pats me awkwardly on the arm. Who would have guessed it? Sober Victor is actually a nice fellow. When we arrive in the dining room, Lucrece has apparently abandoned Loretta to the cellar, since she's sitting at the table with three other people. None of the three is anyone I want to see.
I done told you, you need to go back to bed.
Lucretia says to Aunt Ebony and Uncle Cotton, who show no sign whatsoever of going back to bed, and they both fold their arms across their chests and glare at me.
What? What's going on? I know something going on. I know there's something crazy.
Lucretia's cousin Shalonda squeals. Lucretia starts whispering in her ear, and I know she's telling her all about what Loretta's done, which is a super bad idea.
And don't you be telling no ones.
She finishes sternly and wags a chubby finger at Shalonda.
That crazy Miss Loretta got spooned her dolls for everybody here.
Shalonda shrieks immediately, and Cotton and Ebony look mildly interested.
You two done movie are just in time to die. She done pulled Kenny's leg off already, and no telling which of us gonna be next.
They remind me of a song I used to know.
Aunt Ebony sends with satisfaction. Right, because that's an important matter. A song she used to know.
It go like this. Give me that wood leg, man. Oh, give me that wood leg, man. Oh, give me that.
Hush up,
Lucretia snaps.
You old crazy ass scrawny ass white woman.
I think we should kill her, dudes. Kenny says in a sullen voice.
So she'll quit trying to kill us, man.
We know that, I say impatiently, and I mean it. Killing Loretta seems like the best idea Kenny's ever had. Just how are we meant to do it?
We could, like, build a catapult, dude, and put Lucretia in it and shoot it at her. That'll squash her up good, man,
he replies.
What is you saying? Lucretia demands. Just what is you trying to say?
Nothing, dude.
We could super glue her fingers into a toaster and then plug it in, yeah.
Ermine suggests to no one in particular.
That just burn her fingers,
Cotton says in a disgusted voice.
That's the stupidest idea I heard from you yet, you stupid ass.
Ermine looks hurt by this.
Well, my electrocutor, man. Well, you don't know. Well, what's your idea, Daddy-O?
I says...
Cotton begins importantly.
I says, we froze a rabid chicken in her bone ass. That's what I says.
No chicken ain't gonna kill her,
Ebony scolds.
You don't have no good idea neither, Cotton, so hush your mouth.
We could get her in that,
Victor says thoughtfully.
Top hat, eat your face.
They sell them on Nocturne Alley.
No one has time to go there,
I holler. And if you hadn't noticed, there are no wizards here to take us anyway. A tense silence falls over the room. We're just waiting for someone's arm to shoot off, or their body to be torn into, or their head to be squashed flat. The tension gets worse and worse until I want to scream, yes, again. And then... Loretta bursts into the room. She's holding half dozen voodoo dolls in each hand and waving them over her head, and we all start moving together and huddling into a group. Like that's going to do us any good.
I'm going to kill you all,
she trills out, happy as you please.
I'm going to pull off your arms and pinch off your heads and stomp on your stomachs until you're dead.
Brilliant. I have a psycho aunt who can threaten in rhyme. Now, you may be thinking, this can't possibly get any stranger. But if you are thinking that, you are wrong. Before I can barely blink, a tall woman in black darts silently out of the kitchen, comes up behind Loretta, grabs her neck, and twists it without the slightest hesitation. There's a sickening cracking sound. Loretta lets out a horrific shriek and then drops to the floor. I don't think any of us are even breathing, let alone moving. We probably look like a bunch of open-mouthed statues. The ninja woman does not look like your typical female assassin or anything. She's wearing black velvet trousers, a black turtleneck, and a black woolen cape. And when she tosses the cape to the floor, all this gorgeous, silky, silvery blonde hair spills out. Her face is classically gorgeous, like some 50s film star. Everyone starts looking at everyone else because obviously none of us have a clue, except for Victor, who's staring at the woman with a gobsmacked expression.
Sissy?
He says incredulously. What? Who? Meanwhile, Loretta is not silent on the floor. No, not at all. She's howling and blubbering and carrying on like she normally does, only at warp speed. Then I notice her arms and legs aren't moving, and I realised she's paralysed. That's why she dropped the dolls and not picked them up again and ripped them into pieces. I am so fucking happy.
I'm his nephew, Victor. Yeah?
Victor continues, hopefully. The super ninja woman frowns. I don't think she remembers Victor, but I can definitely see why Victor would remember her. I kind of feel sorry for her, facing all these staring muggles, but she just starts explaining herself in a very practical tone, like none of this is particularly odd. It reminds me of someone, but I can't think of whom. I wrote my 7th-year thesis on the role of sexuality within the demon community, she begins. I interviewed a necromancer in Shoreditch as part of my research, and we owled one another for quite a while, and that was that. Hadn't heard anything from her in years. And then a week ago, she started trying to reconnect. Why? I blurt out, because it's the only thing I can think of to say. Because I have money, I imagine, she says. You know the type. I do, so I nod. Yesterday, she sent me an owl about a muggle who wanted a set of voodoo dolls. Enhanced. Made workable, in other words. She said this woman paid her the equivalent of 2 million galleons to do it. I think I was meant to be impressed by this, but the whole business bothered me. So I paid her a visit to find out more. And then she tells me this woman was off her head and wanted to kill her whole family. So you got her address, I say excitedly, and came over here to stop her? She just shrugs, like it was nothing. Well, I couldn't let her go through with it. I had to paralyse her so she couldn't squeeze any of the dolls when she was attacked. I really couldn't think of any way to go about it. I'm sorry, she says regretfully. I think she's the only person in the room who's sorry. Well, besides Loretta herself, that is. Not a problem, super hot lady! Kenny calls out enthusiastically. We wanted to kill her ass, man. Yeah, we want her dead. She lucky she just end up like that. Lucretia chimes in. How did you learn to snap someone's neck like that? I ask excitedly. Oh, and also, thank you very much. My cousin taught me, she says and smiles kind of ruefully. But I burst out laughing. I think she's totally awesome. She looks around the room as if to satisfy herself that everyone's all right, ignoring the blasphemous shrieks Loretta's emitting from the floor. Well, if everyone's fine then. She disapparates from the room with a ladylike crack. And everyone starts exclaiming about the wonderful, amazing mystery woman. And who could she possibly be? Meanwhile, Victor's just sitting there smiling and shaking his head.
You know what? He says to me, I think I'm going to quit drinking.
No one pays any attention to this, for good reason, I guess. But I can see his mother's side of his family in his expression. He sounds like a Lupin when he says it. Well, that's great, I say, and I mean it. Victor smiles at me, and one of those weird, nice moments occurs. The sort you don't forget. I walk out the back door of the kitchen to get some air. It's a wonderful, cool, starry night, and the moon is lighting up all the rhododendron bushes. I take in some deep lungfuls of air and realise I'm not going to die or lose any limbs. My whole life is still ahead of me, and I think I might just be a happy person after all.